You know, you do realize that everything that God has done in Christ, you know, look at this particular scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. This really doesn't have anything to do with this message, but I think it's a wonderful scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm just going to look it up also in another translation. I'll look this up in the New Living. Very familiar scripture verse in First Timothy 3:16. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was what? Manifest in the flesh." Who was manifest in the flesh? God was manifest in the flesh. "Justified in the Spirit," that means made righteous. And what else? It says, "seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Boy, that's a gospel message right there. That's the gospel message. God was in Christ. That's the other scripture we have and the reason I wanted to look at that, because I want to look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. But this says, "God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." In 2 Corinthians, well, let me just read this. Let me read this in the New Living Translation. See what that says here. In the New Living, it says, "Without question, this is the great mystery of our faith. Christ was revealed in a human body and vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen by angels and announced to the nations. He was believed in throughout the world and taken to heaven in glory." But 2 Corinthians 5:21, in the King James, I'll read it, it says, "For he hath made him to be sin." Who made him to be sin? God did. It says, "God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In the New Living translation, it says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." So right here we see there was a divine exchange. You know, there was an exchange here where Jesus identified with us spirit, soul, and body. He came here in a flesh body, but in the likeness of sinful flesh, but without sin. So that's what Romans chapter 8 says, that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. I believe that's Romans 8 verse 3. And he came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. So he took our sin. Yeah, it says God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemning sin in the flesh. So Jesus identified with us. What does that mean? He took our sins. He took our weaknesses. He took our sicknesses. And we took his what? His righteousness, his peace, his holiness, his joy. We took that, and in exchange, he took our failure. And so there was this divine exchange that took place. In 1 Timothy 2:6, it says, he gave himself a ransom for all. So Jesus came and he became the ransom. He is the scripture, I believe, in Revelation says that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So one scripture starting, and I love this particular scripture, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, and we're highlighting, talking about redemption. We're talking about the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 in the King James Version, it says, in whom, we're talking about Christ, in Christ, we have redemption. How do we have redemption? It goes on to say, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So it's because of his blood that we have redemption. I'll tell you, the devil knows it. He knows you've been redeemed. He knows the power in the blood. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Revelation. I believe it's in the book of Revelation. Somebody can confirm that for me. I believe it is. Where, I know, it's not in the book of Revelation. I don't think it is. Excuse me. It's in Leviticus. Excuse me. It's in the book of Leviticus. And it's Leviticus 17 and verse 11. It's Leviticus 17 and verse 11. In the King James, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. So when you go back and you look at the sacrifices that were put in place by God and the instructions he gave them instructions that they needed to sacrifice the blood of bulls and goats. And of course, we know that once a year, they called that the Day of Atonement, where only the high priest could go in and make atonement by the sprinkling of blood on the mercy seat, which was in the tent of the holy of the inner tent or the inner portion of the tent, the holy of holies. And in that, the sins were atoned for Israel once a year. And it was only the high priest. Well, let's look over in the new covenant, the New Testament. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. See, it said all of those things that were done were types and shadows of things to come. So God, you know, God doesn't do anything for just to be doing. There's a reason. And so the significance of the shedding of blood had some significance. But look at Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. And we can see here in the King James, and then we'll look at it in a few other translations, but it says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but how? But by his own blood. He entered in what? Once. So they didn't have to do this like the Day of Atonement every year to atone. He sacrificed himself once And he entered into the holy place once. It says, into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hallelujah. And the Amplified version, Amplified Classic, it says, he went once for all into the Holy of Holies of heaven, not by the virtue of the blood of goats and calves by which to make reconciliation between God and man, but his own blood, having found and secured a complete redemption, an everlasting release for us. So we've been freed and set free by what? The blood of Jesus. This is the Passion Translation. It says, he has entered once and forever into the holiest sanctuary of all, not with the blood of animal sacrifices, but the sacred blood of his own sacrifice. And he alone has made our salvation secure forever. So the blood of Jesus, his shed blood, secured our redemption forever. Hallelujah. You know, when you think about the sacredness of the blood, just go back and think about Mary. He was not conceived of human means or human method. He was divinely, the seed of God was imparted into Mary's womb. So there was no taint of human blood in his system. You know, I heard Brother Copeland share this recently, and I thought, I never thought about that. Maybe you have. But he said, somebody had a picture, and he said, this is just, you know, somebody who doesn't know, or their mind isn't renewed to this, or doesn't think about it. But he said they had a picture of Jesus on the cross. And he said the painting of Jesus on the cross showed him with a belly button. And he said he couldn't have had one. And I thought, wow, I never thought about that. He said he could not have had one because then he would have been connected to her umbilical cord, which would have been connected to human blood. And I thought, right. So he was birthed by Mary, but he was not connected to her blood. So you might say, well, how did he get his nourishment? I don't know. But I know this much. He could not have been connected because he was not conceived of human means or human ways, which means that he was supported and nourished and upkept by the life of God that was in him. And I just thought, wow, I never thought about that. Not that that has anything to do with our salvation, but the point is, his blood was sacred. It had no sin. He had no sin. So if he had been connected to her in any way, it would have been sin. There would have been sin. In other words, her blood would have flowed into him. And it couldn't have. So the point is here that it was not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So the price that Jesus paid to secure our freedom over Satan, Satan's ownership, because he owned us. But the price that was paid was his own blood. He shed his blood, and the life is in the blood. So when we say he shed his life, we're saying he shed his blood. So his precious blood was shed for all mankind. And the devil knows it. And the Revelation does share. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. So the shedding of his blood guaranteed our deliverance. That's what Colossians says. And he said, we've been delivered from the power, or you could say the authority or ownership of Satan, darkness, and translated into the kingdom of what? His dear son. So let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. I'll read it in the King James, then I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. It says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to do what? Reconcile all things unto himself by him, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. How did he do that? By his blood, his shed blood. He reconciled all things. The New Living, it says, and through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So what does that mean? God has now released mankind for all of the sin that was held against him. He's made peace with them. In other words, he's not holding anything against mankind at all. They're free in God's eyes. Now, what activates that is, when we say activates, it means what makes it a reality in your life. You know, I could pay, if you were incarcerated and I came and I said, I'm going to pay your bail and I'm going to pay that they wipe out the charges. If you don't believe it and receive it, you stay in jail. You stay incarcerated. So you may be free. They may have dropped all the charges against you, and you just say, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And you would stay in jail, incarcerated. So it's the same thing here. God, through Christ, has made peace, which is what it says. He's reconciled. He's made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood. So that means everything in heaven and earth, he's made peace with. He's not angry. He's not holding sin against mankind. And then verse 22, it says, yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. What does he say? You are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. What does that mean? No evidence. No evidence of sin or faults in his presence. There's no evidence against you. He's made peace with everything in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Let's look at Hebrews 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. I'll read this in the King James, and then I'll read it in the New Living. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by how? The blood of Jesus. How could you have boldness because you've been set free? He said, He has peace. He's made peace with everything in heaven and earth. So it's in having an understanding that we've been set free, right? That we can have boldness. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by how? The blood of Jesus. The New Living, it says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. We can enter in boldly. Oh man, you got to know, this is what I say, what is Romans chapter 8, verse 1? It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are what? In Christ. So he's not holding anything against us. So we can boldly enter into his presence through the blood of Jesus. That's what gives us access. I tell you, you know, I experienced this once. I don't know if I've shared this, but probably over 40 years ago, or more than that, actually, is probably 45, might be closer to 50. But I was a young Christian, just, you know, not saved very long, but I was hungry for the things of God, and I've been saved a little bit, but not a long time. And I was sharing the gospel with someone, just sharing my heart, excited about Jesus, sharing the gospel, and we were sharing. And I did not know this person was becoming agitated. I didn't know that. And there was no evidence or visible proof that this person was agitated. And I'm going to just show you what happened. He jumped up from where we were, and he got about right here. He got about 6 inches away from my face. And he beat his chest as he was coming to me, and his eyes were bright red, as the way I remember it. And he beat his chest like this, and he said, "The devil lives in here." And I mean, he said it with, like, he was ready to fight. And at the top of his lungs, he yelled, "The devil lives in here." Why? It happened like in a blink, in an instant, just like that. And the best way I could describe this was, as quick as that happened, because I wasn't expecting it, it just happened. You know, it'd be like somebody going off on you in your face, and you're like, whoa, what? He came up, and as quick as that happened, that quick, I felt like a coat of God's presence just drop on me in an instant. And up out of my spirit, because you can't think that quick. It happened. Up out of my spirit, this is what came out. I said, I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. That's what came out. I didn't even think. And it come right out of my mouth. You know what he did? He turned as if in terror. He turned and he walked away like this. And wouldn't look at me. Because devils know the power that's in the blood. They know it. And you need to know it. And you need it now. Did I know that when that happened? No. But the Holy Ghost enveloped me in his presence, and that came out of me like a sword. I didn't think of it. It just came up and out. And so I just share that because we need to be more aware and conscious of the power of the blood of Jesus. Not only has it freed us and delivered us, but it protects us, and the demons know it and devils know it. And you need to be more aware of the power of the blood of Jesus. And just to what extent God went through Christ to redeem us. He redeemed all mankind with his blood. Hallelujah. And so the cross was the remedy for the whole man. Jesus went to the cross, spirit, soul, and body, to redeem mankind, spirit, soul, and body. And yes, this body still is mortal, and it isn't until his return that this mortal will put on immortality. But in the interim, we have the Spirit of God within us, and Romans 8:11 says that the Spirit of God in us, the same Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, will quicken, give life to this mortal body. Hallelujah. What does Galatians 3:13, let's turn there for a moment, Galatians 3:13. Very familiar scripture. It says, Christ hath. If he hath, that means it's already done. He has done it. He hath done what? Redeemed us from the curse of the law. What did he redeem us with? Through his blood. In whom we have redemption. What? Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption. How? Through his blood. So we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. How? By the blood of Jesus, because of the blood. And it said, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Hallelujah. The New Living Translation says, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when he was hung on the cross. Well, you can look at the curse of the law, you can do it in your own time, but go to the Old Testament, go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. The first 14 verses list the blessings, and verses 15 to the end of the chapter list all the curses. Those were the curses pronounced under the law if you didn't obey. So we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. That means that Christ became what? It says a curse. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So he went and redeemed us from the curse. He didn't redeem us from the blessings. He redeemed us from the curse. Hallelujah. Listen to the Passion Translation. Of Galatians 3:13, it says, yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. I like this. Go back and listen. Get this translation when you get a chance. You can look it up online. It says, he absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. Ooh. He absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. So what does that mean? I don't have to wait to receive the blessings of God. He took the curse for me. So the minute you see that, the minute revelation comes, the minute light comes in and you see it, you go, that's mine, I take it by faith. It's mine. I am healed. I am delivered. I am blessed. I have peace. I have joy. And I have it now. You may not feel that way, but he absorbed the curse completely to set us free. If we've been set free, that means I am free. And I need to tell my circumstances and the situations I'm confronted with, that's why we're authorized as the body of Christ, we are authorized to enforce what he's bought for us. Just like a police officer is authorized to do what? Enforce the law. So we are here as Christ's body to do what? To go into all the world and preach the gospel, to lay hands upon the sick, to deliver people from things that are going on in their bodies and their minds. But we are authorized to do that in his place. You know, you ever think about this? If the body does not cooperate with the directions from the head, nothing gets done. You know, the head who's in heaven could say, move in this direction, and you go, doesn't get done. And right, exactly. That is also true. Not unless somebody else does it. And that's why a lot of times you find other people saying, why am I getting all this work to do? Because you got other folks sitting down on their rusty, not doing what the scripture says, sharing the gospel, being a witness for Christ. Hallelujah. So he absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our stead, in our place. So we are to do, as the scripture says, walk by faith, faith in the blood of Jesus and not by sight. Let's look at a few scriptures in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. This is a very familiar scripture verse here in Revelation. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, and they sung a new song. This is the redeemed now. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God. How? By the blood out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation. Glory to God. So it's the blood of Jesus that has redeemed us. And then Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So this word overcame, when it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that means if you overcome something, you prevail. That means you conquer something. You subdue it. How are we going to do that? By the blood. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 13 says, and he was clothed with a vesture, what? Dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. So you can see here the significance of the blood of Jesus. Romans chapter 3, I want to look at verses 24 and 25. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. Says here, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. Sometimes they use that word propitiation as like a mercy seat. And it said, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. It says, yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal. So God has decreed acquittal for mankind. It says, through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over us, all because Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated us from the guilt, punishment, and power of sin. So we are liberated from the guilt, the punishment, and the power of sin. Verse 25, it says, Jesus' God-given destiny was to be the sacrifice to take away sins, and now he is our mercy seat. See, they use propitiation, but it really means a mercy seat. And it says, now he is our mercy seat because of his death on the cross. We come to him for mercy, for God has made provision for us to be forgiven by faith in the sacred blood of Jesus. This is the perfect demonstration of God's justice, because until now he had been so patient, holding back his justice out of his tolerance for us. So he covered over the sins of those who lived prior to Jesus' sacrifice. So you could see the significance of the blood of Jesus. It's because of the blood of Jesus that we have redemption and his mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Let's look at one more scripture on the blood. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. This is in the King James Version. Romans chapter 5. It says, but God commendeth. That means he's exhibiting. He commendeth, that's what that word means, or to show. But God exhibited or showed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, say much more than, much more than being now justified, how? By his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Glory to God. So this means here that we've been reconciled, and it says now that we are much more being reconciled. What does it say? Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved. That word save, sozo, it means to deliver, protect, heal, preserve, means to be made whole. So this, because of the blood of Jesus, we've been saved, preserved, made whole from the wrath of God. And this also says we shall be saved by his life. That word life is zoe. It's the life of God. So this goes right back to Romans 8:11. Because of the life of God that's in us, it quickens our mortal bodies. We're saved. So he went to the cross again. He identified with us. He shed his own blood for man's weaknesses. And what we took through faith in his blood, we took his life into us. Glory to God. That's why his sacred blood is so powerful. It has redeemed us and set us free. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to think about that sometimes and remind ourselves that it's the precious blood of Jesus that has redeemed me. Bought back all that happened because of the fall of Adam. He purchased back mankind to himself through his very own shed blood. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the precious blood. Glory to God. So when we walk by faith and we speak faith-filled words, when it says that it's through faith in the blood, faith has to be released. How? Through our words. So when we walk by faith and not by sight, things can go on in our life, but we need to speak and say, no, I've been redeemed by the blood. I take my authority. I come boldly into the presence of God, into the throne of God, and I take the authority that I have and I command it to go and leave. Think about what does the scripture say? We're to walk even as he walked. He had no sin. He took our sin and shed his blood. So he had no sin. How did he operate here in this earth? He operated without fear. He walked in power and authority, submitted to the Father. And how should we operate? With no fear of the curse. It may try to grip your mind, but you've got to remind fear. You've got to remind your circumstances of who you are. It's no longer I that liveth, but it is Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take authority over circumstance. You don't like something? Begin to speak to it. Begin to command it to change in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting a little something out of this. Because the blood of Jesus is precious. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, sometimes, you know, well, I just say, the more you meditate on a particular subject, the more you meditate on it, the more you think about it, the more you feed upon it, more light comes, more revelation comes in that particular area. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your precious sacred blood that was shed for us. We don't take it lightly. And we thank you, Father, that in whom, in Christ, we have redemption. We've been set free, spirit, soul, and body. We are not under the devil's curse anymore. We're not under his control anymore in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. You know, just think about this. When I say we've been redeemed, spirit, soul, and body, my spirit has been changed. I'm not under the control of Satan anymore. He has no control to make me sin anymore. Now, you could choose to. But he has no authority or control over you. He has no control over your soul anymore. And he has no control over your body anymore. Now, yes, this body still has sin, death in it. There's the sin nature in this flesh. But He has no authority over it. That's why we can stand up in the authority of Christ and command sickness to go. Because if we didn't have authority, if he hadn't purchased and won back, what does Book of Revelation say? He says he holds the keys of what? Death and hell. So that means we have that right and authority now in his name. So that means death cannot force itself upon you. It cannot unless you yield to it. And you give up and say, which most people, when they reach a certain point, what do they say? They just say, well, I just want to go home. Well, you decided, or the Lord revealed to you, it's time to come home. But he cannot just kill you. He cannot just come and override you without you giving him permission to. So that means you can resist. What is James? Let's go over to the book of James. We'll close with this. I mean, we're finished teaching, but what is James chapter 4? Look at verse 7. James 4, 7. What does it say? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Lay down and just let the devil do whatever he wants to do. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So this means when we submit ourselves to the name of Jesus, we submit ourselves to the Word of God, we submit ourselves to the blood of God, we can resist the devil with the name of Jesus, we can resist him with the blood of Jesus, we can resist him with the Word of God, and what? He will flee from you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah. And God has authorized us and requires us to walk in authority. Walk in. If we are the body of Christ, the head is not walking in authority and the body is just wandering around, hoping and a-praying. No. We should be walking in authority. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Let's receive our offering this morning. I'm just going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So again, if you're giving by text, you can do 28950 and RLCC in the amount. you're given online, you can just go there and do that. And if you're given by check or cash, you just make it out to RLCC, and you can put that in the envelope and put that in the container as you leave. Praise the Lord. Let's release our words in faith, and let's say this as we present our offerings, our seed before the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to sow our seed into the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Father, for this ministry that you've raised up. We thank you, Father, that our need is met. And thank you that these offerings will help to fulfill the assignments that you've given to us, and they shall be fulfilled. And we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that our seed, we're coming in contact with the laws of seed time and harvest. And we thank you, Father, that as we sow our seeds in faith, we thank you that they shall return to us. And you said that you give us seed to sow, you multiply our seed sown, and you increase the fruits of our righteousness. And so we thank you that the seeds that we're sowing shall come up and produce an abundant return on that which we've sown in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that as you've instructed us, we speak this week to the $80,000. We command it to come into this ministry. You've spoken to us to call in weekly $80,000. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that we have it. We believe it by faith, and we receive by faith in the name of Jesus, and we call it into the ministry now in Jesus' name. We command the angels to go forth and to bring in the money into the ministry in Jesus' name. And Father, now we give you thanks and we give you praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, as we get ready to dismiss, have a wonderful week. And praise God. Release your faith with your words. You know, it's wonderful to believe, but believing without speaking, 2 Corinthians 4:13, I believed, and therefore I speak. So those things that you believe, you speak. Hallelujah. You know, this little mini book that we've handed out, How to Write Your Own Ticket with God, there's something in here, you know, this little mini book was the result of a vision that Brother Hagin had in 1953 when Jesus appeared to him. And this is one thing, we may go over this at some point, where he told him to write down these four steps. And this is what Jesus said to him. If anybody, anywhere, will take these four steps or put these four principles into operation, he will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. That's pretty simple and pretty straightforward. That if you will put these four steps into operation, or these four steps or principles into operation, you will receive anything. That's what he said. He will always receive whatever he wants from me or from God the Father. Glory to God. Praise God. And the other thing that he shared in here, because he said to Brother Hagin, well, Brother Hagin said to him, you're going to have to show me this in the scriptures. And he said he smiled and proceeded to show him 3, 4, 5, 6 places in scripture where these were in scripture, the principles and the steps. But in when he was showing him the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, he said this, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. This is the first thing she did. She said, in my vision, Jesus said, positive or negative, it is up to the individual. According to what the individual says, that shall he receive. So whatever it is that you say, that's what you're going to get. Proverbs 6, verse 2, it says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. So positive or negative, you'll have what you say. If you say you can't, you've already sealed your fate, so to speak.